Well, today the Islamic State claimed responsibility for the series of bombings that killed more than 300 people at churches and hotels across Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday. Meanwhile, the Sri Lankan government has not said when it'll lift a ban on social media that it put in place after the attacks to stop the spread of what it called false news reports. For more on that part of the story, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Kara Swisher is Recode's editor-at-large. Hi, Kara.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. And you write that when you heard that the Sri Lankan government temporarily blocked access to some social media sites like Facebook and YouTube after the bombings, your first thought was good. Why?
Well, you know, it's such an anathema to me that I said this because a lot of the, you know, when the shutdowns happen of social media over the world over the past decades, really now, it's always an autocratic government that's trying to, you know, quelch dissent. And that's wrong. And I obviously am a journalist and I'm not a First Amendment absolutist, but I certainly think that it's really important that these people have an ability to speak on these platforms. But what's happened is the people running these platforms and the companies that are running it have not taken enough responsibility for what's running over their platforms. And so they're not exactly free speech. They're just a cacophony of often malevolent and false information, and they're trying to stop it. But when you have issues of crisis, it creates a really problematic situation for governments which are trying to calm things down and the possibility of more violence.
What did the companies think about the fact that the sites were shut down in Sri Lanka?
Well, they made not that much noise. They said they really want to get back up because they're important to communications between the families and who are involved in the tragedy, and that's 100% true. In some of these countries, unlike the U.S., you know, Facebook is the de facto newspaper, it's the telephone system, it's the email mail system. And so it becomes the everything system and therefore is very, very liable to be abused by those who don't have good intent.
And there's history here in Sri Lanka, too. The government there has actually blocked access to Facebook in the past when it thought posts were inciting anti-Muslim violence. This time, they blocked before there was any evidence of any social media inspired violence.
Right. And there was already stuff coming over it, like, because this is a tit for tat. Like, I think this group has just said it's because of what happened in New Zealand, you know. And of course, New Zealand had its own issues. And that was a massive problem for sites like Facebook and YouTube, because, first of all, the shooter, this murderous man, used social media to get his killings out. I mean, he was before, during, and after, essentially. And you can't blame, obviously, this killer is to blame. But the fact of the matter is, the internet was a critical, and social media was a critical part of his plan. And so, you know, New Zealand did not stop that, but they were certainly moving to hold these companies accountable, as are other countries.
Well, so do you think that this should be the go-to approach now when there's something like this,
No.
that the country should say, let's shut down the social media sites?
I think that where we've gotten is there's no other choice. Like, what can we do? Because they're certainly not policing these sites in the correct way. And maybe it's absolutely impossible. Maybe I believe they've architected them in a way that it's impossible, that, you know, for virality and growth. And, you know, the line I had was, when you traffic in outrage, you get death. And so if that's the case, you either stop trafficking in outrage or you shut it down. And unfortunately, shutting it down does work, if only temporarily.
Do you think, though, that we're reaching some kind of a tipping point now? I feel like these days, when we're talking to you or other people at Recode, or we're talking about tech news in general, it's almost always about something bad that the social media sites are doing, or maybe that they're just involved in and they had nothing to do with, but something like this.
Well, you know, they are involved in this. It's just, you know, the ability for they have knocked the lid off of controls of anything. And that's great for regular people to be able to talk to each other and for the more benign uses of these platforms, which are wonderful. But the fact of the matter is they have allowed false players on these platforms, malevolent players who are using propaganda, who are using, bots, whatever it is, whether it's infecting the U.S. elections or elections somewhere else, whether it's fomenting hatred somewhere, whether it's creating rumors that aren't true. These have real life impact. And I think these people who do architect of these things did not think clearly enough about what happens when that happens. And there's all kinds of things regulators can do, certainly, either fining them or holding them liable for this content or shutting it down. And so we don't want to get to the shutdown period. And I just interviewed Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. She's got her hands full with a lot of other things, obviously. But one of the issues is Section 230, for example, the Communications Decency Act of the United States, which gives these platforms broad immunity for what flows over their platforms. She called it a gift that they've been abusing. You know, that's like, hey, pay attention. There can be regulations all over the world. Whatever it is, it's coming for them. And so they have to really think hard about what that means and how they can rein in some of the worst parts of these platforms.
That's Kara Swisher, editor-at-large at Recode. Kara, thank you.
Thanks a lot.